Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. As we've talked about each week, everybody, let's stay safe and let's stay informed. We've got a great doubleheader today, Dr. Matt Vogt. He's a sports medicine physician in Hinsdale, Illinois. He's with the Sports Medicine and Regenerative Therapeutics Institute, SMART. He'll be joining me. And then we've got returning one of our favorite guests, Kirk Mango. Kirk is the author of the great book, Becoming a True Champion. He's a former NCAA gymnastics champion himself. He's a team member with the experts in referral and reference for our Hey Sports Parents, the Sports Doctors In program. And then we'll answer a few emails. First, I want to welcome Dr. Matt Vogt, Sports Medicine and Regenerative Therapeutics Institute. Welcome, Dr. Matt.
Thank you, Dr. Weil. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Give us some background on you and the Institute.
Well, you know, if you go way back, I finished my medical school training at St. Louis University, and I always had an affinity for orthopedics. After medical school, I was in the Navy. I did a surgery internship and then did flight medicine training and then was a Navy flight surgeon for 4 years. You do that on active duty prior to finishing residency. So after the Navy, after my 5 years in the Navy, I went back into residency training. And
yeah, those are some real athletes. Those are some real athletes.
That's
the pilots. Absolutely.
It's very interesting. It's an interesting group of people, and it's really a great experience to. It's a great time of my life and great experience. Great part of my career for sure. So after the Navy, I finished my residency training, and I actually did a few years of orthopedic surgery residency training, and I recognized that a lot of these patients, they really weren't getting better with some of the elective surgeries, such as total knee joint replacement and some of these surgeries. It wasn't the surgeon's fault. I mean, things were placed perfectly and things were done right, but patients just didn't react well. Orthopedic surgery just really wasn't the specialty for me to continue my career in, and I finished my residency training in family medicine.
Definition, Dr. Vogt? You know, I've had for years in this new world of regenerative medicine, where we've talked a lot about that area. It's a very exciting area. And define that and tell us how that's such a big part of what you're doing now.
So essentially my practice is a non-operative sports medicine practice. And the goal of my clinic is to help patients to get better more quickly, heal their injuries.
You know, 95%, Dr. Vogt, 95% of sports medicine ain't surgery.
Surgery is such a small
part, right? And I think that's always a big point. You know, that's, you know, always gets the headlines many times. But go ahead.
Yes, and so, what we incorporate in our practice, first of all, is part of our physical exam. We incorporate diagnostic ultrasound. And so that helps tremendously with helping us on exam to see what's going on. A lot of times patients come in with knee pain, and it's not necessarily... A, a, a big thing that you'll see on an MRI or an X-ray, but it could be a very small thing.
We love diagnostic ultrasound. You know, the ability to, on the spot, painlessly look at the ligaments and look at the tendons is, you know, X-rays show your bones. That's it. The diagnostic ultrasound is a great, great tool. You can move the part around and really see what's going on. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back years and see what the topics were, who were the guests, in an endless array internationally of sports medicine, fitness, wellness. Listen to whatever you'd like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you could see the endless array of articles on so many different topics, whether it's what's the best shoe for your son or daughter, to what about specialization, to many articles also on one of our areas of huge interest on The Sports Doctor, which is the world of concussions. And you can follow us. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter and LinkedIn. We have over 35,000, and there's lots of great information at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. We're talking with the Sports Medicine and Regenerative Therapeutics Institute. We're talking to Dr. Matt Vogt. And we were talking about, again, the non-surgical areas, and you talk about the biologics. So regenerative medicine, you are injecting into areas guided by ultrasound, right? Therapeutics, exactly. In order to enhance natural healing. That's what I always thought was the big deal about regenerative medicine. Wasn't drugs, not that it never was including drugs, but we were using natural biological substances, right?
You're exactly right. And so essentially, you're enhancing the body's ability to heal. So, you know, the problem with a lot of tissue around a joint is that it's just not very well supplied with blood. And so, for example, a tendon, the blood supply is very poor. So if you get a tendon tear, it's why it's so hard to heal a rotator cuff. Is just because of that lack of good blood supply. And so with injections of, for example, platelet-rich plasma or another growth factor protein-containing tissue, such as amniotic tissue, it helps to actually help with that influx of neovascularity to help heal that tissue.
Yeah, I think Tiger Woods helped make PRP famous when he was getting it in Europe, because of the problems with his knees and some other areas, and it got a lot of hoopla. Again, the idea with no side effects, really, for the most part, with these kinds of therapies, which is very, very exciting. And I know that you practice, also you pay attention to the nutrition side, the exercise side,
right?
Because you got to come up with the reason. How come the joint or the tendons are wearing out? A lot of times it's biomechanics. You know, someone's
exactly.
Walking around with flat feet, or they got one leg longer than another. What's the best website? I'm going to call you Dr. Matt. I'm Dr. Bob. What's the best website people could find out all about you and the Institute?
The smartinst.com. So there's a lot of good information on that.
So SMARTS.
SMARTINST.com. So the smartinst.com.
Yes, in Hinsdale. He's got some friends, Hinsdale Orthopedics, once upon a time.
Is that right?
Really? Yes, absolutely involved. Now, the relationship, again, with the orthopedic community, the relationship with the physical therapy community, the podiatric community, I would imagine you're in the middle of all of it because you deal with upper and lower extremity, true?
Exactly, yeah. And so, you know, what's really important for the success of my patients is that I do get them referred to a very good physical therapist. And we pretty much know all of the physical therapists in our area and the surrounding Chicago area. And so it's just really important for patients to get that follow-up physical therapy care that they need. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes I view what we do as an extension of the physical therapist. You know, the physical therapist is working that joint and body part to get moving correctly, which is important for healing. And then what I do is I I give it a boost, you know, give it a boost so that the therapist can then finish it off. And so, for example, you know, a lot of times, for example, a rotator cuff, a patient might reach a plateau in physical therapy, or sometimes they might not be able to do it at all because of the pain. And that's where a regenerative injection can come in very handy to help get that patient over the hump so that they can then really complete the physical therapy and get things functioning and strengthened to the point that they need to be.
Yes, and again, you're not necessarily talking drugs. You know, over the years on the Sports Doctor, where we've had, you know, the holistic physicians, a lot of Eastern and Western medicine, you know, a couple decades ago, nobody wanted to know about that in the United States. You know, we were, if you can't inject it, or if you can't operate it on it or give it a pill, you know, we don't know what we're going to do. And the whole other area of well-accepted therapies, regenerative medicine is a big one. You know, we've worked with physiatry, again, which is another profession which I think delves a lot with what you guys do. For the most part, there are no side effects with using these types of almost supplements. And diagnostic ultrasound, you know, where you are seeing exactly where you're going is a big deal, isn't it?
It is, and that's what's really exciting, to be able to see the exact tissue that you're treating. And then you can also treat a variety of different areas. So, for example, I can inject into the joint, I can inject to the joint capsule, I can inject ligaments around the joint. And so it's necessary to have that ultrasound image to be able to do that.
What are some of the, I know that the older population and the very active, what are some of the age variabilities? How young do you ever get involved with the regenerative medicine?
So primarily high school athletes, that would be the youngest that we've treated. You know, the thing about having youth on your side is that typically you heal more quickly. There are situations where with a tendon tear or ligament tear that can be chronic in nature, so it's already given a very, very good trial of physical therapy. That's where, you know, we would come in and then try to incorporate.
Yes, and I'd like in physiatry, using botanicals, other kinds of natural substances. One of the reasons I co-authored the book, Dr. Vogt, # Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic with a capital E of overuse injuries in youth sports, absolutely including the high school athlete and even older, where we've got this overkill, this chronic overuse, and the ability, again, to have an addition of some regenerative medicine, natural medicines, I think is a very, very big advantage. And, especially in this time, when you're dealing with coaches or you're dealing with parents, you know, I always ask doctors like yourself how your sports psychology skills are.
I think the art of medicine quite often is really boils down to getting the patient to do what they need to do. And if you can convince the patient that, you know, hey, we need to, in a smart way, we need to slow down, and we still need to do what we need to do to stay strong, but at the same time, you can't keep beating yourself up like you are doing.
Tough sell when you're dealing with competitive athletes. Do you have associates over with you at the institute?
We do, yeah. So my partner, Dr. Honeyus, it's primarily he and myself, and he's actually very active in Ironman triathlons.
Excellent. You know, many times when we're talking consulting with you guys, when we're talking about biomechanics, we're talking about alignment, we're talking how that absolutely contributes. In sports medicine over the years, seeing some of the best female athletes in the world, 50% of the people I would see, Dr. Vogt, had knee trouble with these girls, and it was foot mechanics. So many times we're looking at that combination of factors with strengthening being so important, so involved. And I know you guys pay a lot of attention to the nutrition. It's funny you mentioned, and I agree with you totally, how you like to long-term watch your athletes. You like to really pay attention to how well you know, people are doing. I'll tell you a 30-second story. I had a volleyball coach patient of mine. We were talking orthotics. She's probably in him 10 years. And she said, you know, my sister's here. She wants to come in and say hello, Dr. Bob. I said, great. She comes walking in, and she takes her shoes off. She shows me her orthotic. It says, Martha, Dr. Weil, 1979. She was a high school sophomore. We were using orthotics for shin splints, and 40 years later, she's got the same devices. And I always told her that that was two reasons why it was so interesting. One, it's showing the kind of science of what I'm talking about. But number two, it's why we can never make any money. You know, the orthotics, they never wore out in that particular situation. But, you know, long-term follow-up, so important. In so many of these different areas, how do you decide quickly what you might be injecting, the amniotic fluids and some of the protein-rich plasmas, all for the most part natural body substances? Do you use the patient's own, well, of course, protein-rich plasma? You're using their own plasma, aren't you?
Exactly, yes. And so we discuss both options with the patient, you know, quite often. We will use platelet-rich plasma. There are occasions where we'll use the amniotic tissue. Insurance does not cover platelet-rich plasma at this point.
That's a hassle.
Yeah.
They're just catching up. You know, you guys are still that new, quote-unquote, that, you know, insurance hopefully will really, really catch up, and this will be really included in the options. You know, when it comes to some of these terrific therapies, you know, years ago, it was, oh, if it wasn't a cortisone injection, there were no other options.
Right.
And, you know, not that cortisone wasn't effective. It was very effective, but it was overused where it started becoming degenerative. And you don't have to worry about that with these biologics that you're using, do you?
Right, right. You're absolutely right. The complicated thing, though, is that
Matt, I can't believe we ran out of time. I knew we might. Give me, this is live radio. Ha! Give me the website real fast again that people can find out about you and the Institute.
Sure. It's thesmartinst.com. And Dr. Bob, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Hold on, Matt Vogt, Regenerative Medicine. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parent's perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Live from Chicago, it is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome back one of our favorite guests, Kirk Mango. Kirk is the author of Becoming a True Champion. He's a former NCAA gymnastics champion himself. He contributed to hashtag A Sports Parents, the book. He's one of our contributing experts in the referral and reference world in my new venture, Hey Sports Parents, the Sports Doctor's In, and probably his best accolade is his two Division I daughters in the past in different sports. Hey, Kirk, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Hey, Doc, it's good to hear from you again. Good to be on.
Great. Give us a little bit of quickie background on you, what grew into the book, the two girls, and your world.
Well, my athletic background started in high school. I faced a pretty daunting task, a goal that I had set that didn't really look realistic, and I was told that by a lot of people, including my coach in high school. And going through that experience built a lot of foundations for, you know, how to really be successful at things that you would like to achieve. I took that into college, which you had mentioned. I became an NCAA Division I champion, and using a lot of those foundations, and three-time All-American and three-time Hall of Fame athlete. So those types of things I brought into my teaching and coaching and continued to build on those foundations. I had two kids who seemed to be pretty athletic, and they got into competitive athletics pretty heavily, and I kind of focused a lot of those foundations that I had learned through my coaching experiences, the intrinsic pieces, on trying to develop those within my kids as well, and that tended to work out for them. In fact, it was the writing of my book came about after a conversation I had with some parents after one of my daughter's games or tournaments, in which a lot of the things that they were mentioning seemed so backwards from what I had learned from my athletic experience, and that inspired me to write Becoming a True Champion. So that's kind of the elevator version of what had happened.
Right. And in between, you showed up in my office, and we ended up with orthotics for you and Lindsay, who went to my alma mater, Louisville, with their great volleyball program. And, you know, you mentioned very quickly, Kirk, but one of the things that's always been very special to me about you is, like, you know, your coach said to you, you know, don't knock yourself out in the gymnastics here necessarily. You might make the team or whatever, but we sure don't have any, you know, wildest dreams about becoming a champion. And you took that, and in a year or so, whatever it was, you were well on your way. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I remember watching, you know, I was below average my junior year in high school, and I remember watching an athlete compete on the still rings, actually, and that's the event I was most passionate about, and it really inspired me. I remember blurting out in the stands, I want to be that good, and my friends kind of looking at me like I was crazy because, I mean, I was an unknown. I never had my name in the paper. No one knew who I was. I was just below average on a good day, and we got handed a goal sheet at the end of the season, and I wrote down there, I want to be a state champ, score in the nines, get a full ride scholarship to college. And, you know, I can't really blame my coach much, because I'm not sure how I would have looked at that. Because that was light years away from where I was.
Yeah, he sure didn't mean it. He sure didn't mean it in a negative manner.
No.
He's just giving you some feedback, which is you're below average.
Yeah, and, well, you know, be more realistic was his words, I think. And
so, great point.
Yeah, that's what how would I have dealt with that? I'm not sure. I was looking at what was there. And so that, when you go through an experience like that, the ups and downs and all of that for 9 or 10 months, I think it was, or 11 to the end of the next season, and you see what a person is capable of, and not just me, I think a lot of people are capable of a lot more than they see out of themselves. And that's kind of what the idea is of the book. So that was my experience, to getting that from someone that wasn't even able to place in conference, let alone in a state series.
You know, in this world, Kirk, you know, with this incredible challenge times 100 of youth sports, and youth sports, everybody, will be back. You know, that's for sure. We have to have patience. But in this crazy $20 billion a year business of youth sports, the challenge of safety, challenge of, you know, being realistic, not overdoing it, all the craziness, whether it's the overzealous parents, whether it's what I call the Svengali coaches with tremendous overkill. And one of the rationales of the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic of overuse sports injuries, both physically and mentally. Such a big deal. You know,
yep.
You've experienced that your whole career into the book. And again, the idea of the responsibility of the young athlete, which I always thought was a big deal about your book, was that from the perspective of the athlete themselves was a big part of becoming a true champion, isn't it?
Oh, very much so. In fact, the whole book, the idea is it's an inside out approach to athletics success and life itself. Actually goes beyond the athletic arena rather than what we're seeing today, which you alluded to and what you said, an outside-in approach where everything is forced upon the athlete. The athlete must do this because they're told to do this, where my book comes from the standpoint of really it's up to the athlete. We want it to reach inside the athlete and pull out of them what's there and let them have ownership over what they're doing. So the book is written mainly for athletes to inspire them and give them that path. Say, hey, you are capable of more, and this is how it's done, and it's up to you. Where do you want to go?
You know, watching the incredible Michael Jordan series on ESPN, which the whole world is watching, and looking at this incredibly unique competitor, all these different things, the good, the bad, and the ugly that go into that side of things. You know, so much on the Sports Doctor I feature and have paid huge attention to what I call the mental game. Mm-hmm. Whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether your son or daughter is one of the best athletes in the world, whether you are trying to come back from an injury, whether you're dealing with the pressure. When you wrote your segment in the book, Hashtag Sports Parents, and you talked to, you know, the pressure of scholarships and all of these other kinds of things where things can get way, way out of hand. And if anything, it's just even much more notable today in so many different areas. And the idea of the athlete himself taking the mindset, him or her, and that kind of responsibility is still an educational challenge to get that across, isn't it?
Yes, and I think it's I think it's important. In fact, I'm going to say essential, because to me, the intrinsic pieces that come out of a thought process like that go way beyond the athletic arena, and I think that's where we're losing perspective. And like you mentioned scholarships. You know, a lot of times when I'm speaking to athletes, they'll ask, well, your kid's got scholarships, and my retort to that or response is, yes, but it wasn't about the scholarship, because the scholarship is the outcome. It's the process that's key, because the process, it transfers to anything in life. And I think that's really important to keep in mind. And it's funny you mentioned that Michael Jordan series, because I'm watching that too, and it's very interesting for me seeing that series and listening to some of the things that are coming across, because there's several of them that come right out of BATC, right out of becoming a true champion. I'm like, yeah, I felt the same way. I wrote that too, you know. So it's just an interesting series for me. I have to smile sometimes listening to some of the things that Jordan talks about.
What's the website, Kirk, to find out about the book and the other things you're speaking, the other things you do? What's the best site?
BecomingATrueChampion.com. So just type it out, BecomingATrueChampion.com, or you can just type Kirk Mango in Google and the website will pop up.
Right, the man's everywhere. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go to radio shows, you can go back years and listen to whatever topic you would like, whatever individual expert, whether they were an author, an athlete, a coach, a parent. We've had them all. And if you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you could read a lot of the different articles I've been involved with one of our newest sponsors, the great Lower Extremity Review magazine, and the new, very exciting MVP Parent magazine, all sorts of articles, all sorts of topics. Again, I get so many guests from Twitter as well as LinkedIn. There's almost 40,000 followers in two of those. So if you go to @sportsdoc, DOC Radio, you could jump on a lot of positive educational material on @sportsdoc on Twitter, besides just information about the radio show, etc. We're talking with Kirk Mango, And he's the author of Becoming a True Champion. He was an NCAA champion himself and went through all of those different challenges. You know, we're talking about youth sports and how much more aggressive in so many ways. You know, Kirk, one of the most interesting chapters in the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is youth sports and drugs, where I used to see these young, good athletes, adolescents, high school, half of them were taking over-the-counter pain medicines just to stay in the game, just to put up with the overuse.
Absolutely.
And I tell parents all the time, if your son or daughter needs medicine to participate, you're over the line. We need to start backing off. So these kinds of challenges and realities, you know, it's amazing we're still dealing with some of these things. You know, you're one of our exciting members of my experts on the Hey Sports Parents and Sports Doctors In, and a couple of these organizations, Kirk, that are involved with this, National Alliance of Youth Sports, iSport 360, Gordon McClelland, and Working with Parents in Sports from England. It's amazing that the challenges still really are there as youth sports has exploded. You know, when you see national champions, you watch the Olympics and it's a 16-year-old, you know how early. It's not for everybody. But you mentioned something that I think is so important. You've always stressed it. The whole area of life of this young athlete, so much, you know, not just, like you said, the scholarship, not just the sports, right?
Right. Yeah, that's, you know, I say this too a lot when I speak to athletes and parents and things of that nature regarding youth sports and sports. You know, the medals, I mean, even mine, all the awards. Right now I'm 62. My awards sit on the shelf and they collect dust. They're there. That's it. So that's the remembrance of the outcome. The value was in the process.
I want to talk more about that,
there.
Kirk. Yeah, we got another segment coming up, and we definitely want to talk more about some of those things that are so important as ingredients into the book. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide. School pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We are talking with numerous times returning guest, Kirk Mango, author of Becoming a True Champion. Right before we got cut off, I was mentioning, again, Kirk's daughter, Lindsay, who was in high school when I saw her in the office, top volleyball player, one of those, what did you call her position?
She was a libero.
Libero, the one who's digging and running all over the place, one of the best athletes I remember, and went to University of Louisville, became a great player there, and presently is one of the most successful dynamic life coaches.
Yeah,
it's funny when I listen to you talk and I see, you know, sometimes when I see with Lindsay and I'm just telling her, hey, man, as long as your orthotics are in your shoes when you're working out, it's a funny history. I can't believe it's all these years already since, you know, high school and college. And talk more about some of the bullets and the important themes in Becoming a True Champion that you share with the, whether it's coaches and parents, athletes themselves. What are some of the other things that are really important that you were stressing?
Well, I guess an overview, a real good overview, would be that the book is divided into three sections. And the first section, which is most important to me, is the mindset of the athlete. So I talk about goals and inspiration and what I call the CDSPH principle, commitment, discipline, sacrifice, priorities, and heart, and what those really mean, character, competitive mindset versus a training mindset. To me, it's how one thinks that determines the actions one can take. So that's the second section of the book. So the mindset is first. The second section of the book is taking that mindset and applying it to any sport, because to me, the intrinsic pieces of the athlete are the same for success no matter what sport you play. You know, work ethic, priority setting, all of those pieces, how one thinks, and then how does it apply? How might it apply to baseball? How might it apply to gymnastics? How might it apply to volleyball? The intrinsic pieces, as I said, I think they're the same for any sport. The sport itself, the environment changes, so that's going to change. There might be different types of training, but the actual intrinsic pieces that you bring to the table in any sport are the same. The last section of the book is a true inspirational story that happened to me in high school. I thought it was important to give them a real-life story of something that looked to be impossible and how all of these pieces put together allow for success to happen at the end. So that's kind of in a nutshell, how the book, at least again, the elevator version of it, how it works and would help athletes, coaches, and parents.
Yes, and I know you talk about also, coaches, the whole world of coaches, how a young boy or girl deals with, handles their coaches is such an important ingredient also. You mentioned goals. Real quick story, when we always would talk about youth sports, whose goal is it? Is it
right.
Mom or dad's, or is it
right.
yours? And my poster boy, one of them, Evan Lysacek, who grew up in Naperville, Illinois. Evan was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. 12 years later, he was the best in the world. He was the Olympic gold medalist. Fantastic kid. And I had his mom on the radio. I think if you go back 10 years, you could find it. He won in 2010. I had Tanya, his mom, on the radio a month after, whatever it was, and I asked her, how did you know, Tanya, whose goal it was, that whole area? She says, you know, Dr. Weil, Evan had to be up at, on the ice at 6:15 in the morning. I never had to wake the kid up. He was always sitting in the car with his gloves on, ready to go. And I said, I couldn't think of a better answer, with that crazy pressure or question, which is whose goal is it, and as the pressure mounts, traveling teams, all of these kinds of things. You know, what do you mean your ankle still hurts?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
No wonder you got to take two Advil twice a day to go to practice.
Right.
Your daughter, again, Lindsay, one of the most aggressive championship programs in the world.
Yeah,
is sports performance volleyball in Aurora, Illinois, and not for everybody. And sometimes about Svengali-like coaches. So the young athlete's ability to deal with coaching. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I talk about that a little bit in the book as well, and I talk about that from the perspective of the focus on things you can control, and then the focus on things you cannot control. For example, the coach that you're involved with, many times you don't have control over them. And even though they may have certain things that you don't like or certain expectations that you're not happy with, or they may not play you at certain times or you don't get a starting position, those are things that you directly don't have control over. The only thing you have control over is your own behavior and how you're going to deal or handle that. So that's kind of the perspective I come from in becoming a champ.
How about parents, Kirk?
Same thing.
You've got the young athlete's got to deal with the coach. The young athlete also has to deal with mom and dad.
Yep.
And how's that chemistry? That's why I'd always ask you how your sports psychology skills were.
Right.
You talked about it. You think it's a similar kind of responsibility?
Yes. And, that gets to be a little tough. I mean, they're your parents, but there needs to be an open line of communication between the two. And you mentioned something earlier I think is just essential. The goal has to come from the athlete. It's okay to inspire them. It's okay to show them the path, but they have to walk that path. If they're not willing to walk that path, I don't care, parent or coach, it's not going to happen. So it has to come from inside them. And that's what you want anyway, because eventually they're going to be on their own in an adult world, and it's what they get out of life needs to come from inside them. So I think that's an important piece that parents can get out of the book as well. Even though it speaks to the athlete, you definitely are going to get a sense that, hey, who's responsible for the success?
Now, you were a coach yourself, right, for years?
I mean, I was.
You were a PE teacher for years.
34
and
years.
And a coach. And the so you had to be applying those things for somebody else's kids.
Yep.
And dealing with the parents or the other kinds of coaches and whatever. So that had to give you all sorts of material for the book, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Well, in fact, that, as I mentioned, that was one of the inspirations was that conversation I had with parents, because the things that were coming out of their mouths in that conversation, and I really kind of listened to them for 20 minutes before I said anything. A lot of that, to me, if you'll excuse the expression, was kind of ass backwards. It was the opposite of what I had learned, you know, and it was all an outside-in approach. We need to do this. We need to force them to do this. No, it needs to come from the athlete. You're the director. You point them. You give them the options and the things that they want to do or that give them, whether it's from a parent's perspective or from the coach's perspective, the actual training pieces. But they're the ones who have to do that. So I think inspiration is a real big piece of this, and getting the right mindset within the kid, and then things will happen for them. They'll reach the potential that might actually exist inside of them. And one other thing about parents, I think it's, I get asked this a lot. In fact, I was interviewed yesterday by another individual, and one of the things that he had asked me was about advice for parents. And my advice for parents with athletes or with parents in general, again, I taught kids for 34 years, was the idea that come up with some foundational principles that you truly believe in, that you think are important to instill in your child as they grow, and stick with those. Before you even have kids, give that some thought. Because it's those foundational principles that they're going to carry on for the rest of their lives. And you want them to do that through the foundations that you build for them. But they still have to walk that path. I'm not sure if that makes sense or not, but it's kind of
what it makes a lot of sense. And I also think that it would be well received and very popular by the young athletes you're talking about, the fact that, you know, it's on me. You know,
yep.
It's all about how I handle and think about this. And I would think that would be, hey, that sounds great to me. I'm not depending on this one or that one. I'm really taking this kind of responsibility. I would think even at the highest levels that would be a very popular thought process. You know, and I'll tell you, it would be running out of time here already. Mm-hmm. So many different topics. Kirk, give me the website again. People could find out about the book, get the book.
It's becomingatruechampion.com, or they can just Google my name, Kirk Mango. Either one of those will bring them right to the website, and then they can go to any bookseller. It's published by Roman and Littlefield. So.
Fantastic. And again, I recommend it so highly. Kirk Mango, thanks so much. Kirk. We'll be right back with the Sports Doctors in. Hold on. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness, right-fit.com. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, welcome back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Again, if you go to sportsdoctorradio.com, you can go to radio shows and pick and choose what you'd like to listen to. Goes back years. So many great guests and topics. Or go over to newspaper articles, magazines. A lot of great stuff happening there with some of our recent articles. And by the way, parents, if you go to mvpparent.com, you can get online a copy of the exciting new magazine, MVP Parent. I've got a couple articles in there. So many great things involved with Rich Dubin, who is a publisher for decades. He just celebrated his 10th anniversary with Lower Extremity Review Magazine, one of the most respected in the area. He's one of our sponsors. So MVPParent.com. We got great guests coming up. Speaking of, hey, sports parents and sports doctors, in Katie Davis, RDK Sports Nutrition. It's been a while since she's been on. She's one of our experts in referral and reference, and we're excited to have her. And then I'm excited, Hillary Loftus, WOW Foundation. She's the healthcare education director, and really talking about concussions and hyperbaric oxygen. Very exciting things going on in that area. The following week, a Paralympic champion from over there, and I don't know if it's UK, Wales, James Roberts will be coming back and joining me. And then I'm excited also from England, Gordon McClelland. He's the creator, founder of Working with Parents in Sports. Good luck to you, Gordon, in that area. He's also one of our experts on my new venture. So we're going to answer a couple of emails and then talk a little bit more about, hey, sports parents and sports doctors. And Ina says, please expound on your two exercises you feel are so important in the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Ina, it's two exercise concepts for the youth athlete, regardless of their age, regardless of their level, regardless of their sport. One, strengthen your feet and ankles. And we demonstrate rubber bands. My famous sports therapist, Bob Guida, who was my mentor in sports medicine. It's the reason why I got a chance to see the Jim McMahons and the John McEnroes and the Walter Paytons. They were coming to see Bob Guida, and he virtually invented rubber band resistance. It's a great way to strengthen feet, ankles, and that's one of the exercise concepts. The other is balance, working stability. An example in the book is the incredible sand dune stepper. If people go to Sand Dune Stepper on Instagram, they'll find an incredible array of exercises that are done simulating sand resistance exercise. So balance, whether a senior citizen is balancing on one foot, whether they're balancing on a mini trampoline, whether a young athlete is doing tilt board exercises or the BOSU, create instability. Demand the body stabilize. We call it instability training. And it's that second exercise concept. It's amazing. I wrote a chapter in one of my co-authors, my co-author of the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, the Hall of Fame volleyball player, prolific author, talk show host, Sharky Zartman. One of her books was called Empowered Aging. And she had a compilation of authors. I was one of them. And my chapter was called, besides being cute, it was called Aging is a Balancing Act. And it really was about what I'm talking about. Balance exercise is a terrific addition for all of us, whatever we're doing, to try to enhance balance and stability. Ted says, my 12-year-old daughter does multiple dance, just starting ballet, but she does jazz, she does tap, she has orthotics in her sneakers. Can she use them? She sure can, Ted, in the shoes that they work in. We find that most tap shoes will work very, very well. Modern dance depends on the shoe. Definitely hip-hop, they work well. Once we get into ballet, we're really talking about a whole different scenario. Listen to what I said to Ina, Ted, on the first email, your daughter with multiple dancing. Get her to include those exercises we were talking about, strengthening the feet and ankles and working balance. But we can get various dance shoes that orthotics will work in, but sometimes we're talking about specific devices similar to what I put in figure skates, an orthotic, very, very small, very thin, very flexible, that we can use in a lot of different shoes, and that might not be what she's got in her sneakers. So check that out. Denise says, is less better than more with running shoes? You know, we found out that less isn't necessarily better, Denise. My advice with running shoes is if you've got something that's really worked for you successfully, stick with it. If you don't have a history of injury, you've never had problems, you really want to experiment with lighter and lighter, less supportive shoes, I wouldn't fight with you forever. But we've seen everything from more stress fractures, more shin splints, more overuse injuries. So as a generality, I like supportive running shoes regardless of the brand. Just make sure you fit properly. Let's talk of whatever. I have a minute or two about, hey, sports parents and sports doctors in. I am acting as a doctor quarterback where I will be answering questions from parents. When they do, go to www.thesportsdoctor.online. Whatever the question happens to be, if it's a sports medicine question, if it's an orthotics question, it's a shoe question, I will specifically be dealing with it. If it's in other areas, mental training, physical training, nutrition, sports psychology, I have this group of 20 experts that I can reference or refer to. If they become involved in my program, which will involve multiple phone calls, maybe three phone calls over a month or two, then we will be following up with that sports parent and or coach on how their experience or what they're doing involving with that physical trainer or mental trainer regarding follow-up, the goal being a game plan to enhance performance or to prevent injuries in your young athlete. Son or daughter. Thanks, everybody. Stay safe. Stay informed. See you next week. It's the Sports Doctor.